Rinpoche will be giving the oral transmission of the Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa, the 100 Deities of the Land of Joy, giving a general introduction to it, and then later on we'll be giving the teaching on Lama Chopa. So today, Khinsu Rinpoche, Loslin Khinsu Rinpoche is here at the invitation of the President to teach from 11 to the 21st of December to come here to give Dharma teachings. So as a result, every Dharma, the root of all the Dharma is to rely on the spiritual friend. So from the very beginning, the content of the teaching is to do with the Guru Yoga. And Guru Yoga is divided into two portions. One is the more succinct version, is known as the 100 Deities of the Land of Joy. And the extended version of the Guru Yoga is the Guru Puja, or what they call the Lama Chopa. So all Dharma, including both the Sutra and the Tantra tradition, what they emphasize upon and the critical point is to rely on the spiritual friend, and rely on spiritual friend is the root of the Dharma as well as the foundation of the Dharma. If the foundation is strong and good, and from the foundation right to the deeper aspect of the Dharma, then we will be able to get a positive experience and have a beneficial practice from it. So therefore, the Guru Yoga is the queen essential section of Dharma. Therefore, regardless of whether it's the Lamrim or others, Lamrim is always starting on the spiritual, relying on the spiritual friend, and it's along the middle and the short. And all this version of Lamrim is always talking about the Guru Yoga. In the Tantra, there are four types of Tantra, and all the beginning, the preliminary, always involve relying on the spiritual friend, whether in the lower, middle, or the higher scope. All the other qualities that we can develop is from relying upon the spiritual friend or Guru Yoga. So the root of all the Dharma is true relying to spiritual friend as a preliminary. Similarly, the source of all water is that of the snow mountains, whether the five paths or the Bodhisattva path or the experiential path of Tantra or the completion, the generation stage of the Tantra, all these are the preliminary foundation is relying on the spiritual friend. Therefore, relying on the spiritual friend, if we can able to do relying on the spiritual friend properly and well, this is like the door or to the Dharma is all then widely open, and when the door is widely open, then we can properly enter and acquire the treasure troves of the Dharma. So therefore, the Guru Yoga is the foundation of every quality and is the source of every quality. Relying on the spiritual friend, according to Lama Tsongkhapa's tradition, it's divided into two lineage, and within this, there's an Insapa is relying upon the 100 deities, the land of joy, and besides this, the Kadam or the transmission lineage within it, it's based on the Panchen Lotsang, relying upon the Lama Chopa, and among these, in the Lama Chopa from the foundation, relying the spiritual friend all the way to the higher scope, the essence of the higher scope. Everything is actually encapsulated, included within the Lama Chopa. So with regard to the 100 deities of the land of joys, the Guru Yoga, this section is actually very short, but actually there are extensive commentaries being written on it, and this great commentary, due to time constraint, we're not going to make a very comprehensive teaching to it, but within it, the content, the succinct presentation could be given to us here. So at the beginning, why do we call it the 100 deities of the land of joy? Well, what we know, what's the meaning of the land of joy? It refers to the Tushita heaven. It refers to within the desire realm, a certain place in it. So out of the six heavens of the desire realm, one of the heaven is that of the Tushita heaven, and it's also known as the land of joy. So what we need to actually make a short introduction to the six heavens heavens of the desire right. And first of all, the first heaven is said of the heaven of the four great kings. The heaven of four great kings place is up ascending from the human realm to the point of Mount Sumeru, and at the tip of Mount Sumeru resides the heaven of the 33, or what we call that the 33, and after 33 up will be the Marichi heaven, and above Marichi heaven is that of Tushita heaven, and in Tushita heaven there's a certain place known as the inner chamber of Buddha Maitreya, and another meaning of inner chamber, it means possessed of joy, and it's called possessed of joy because within it the heavens will live within it, the heaven, the joy of the gods living in there are extraordinary even in relation to other gods. So with regards to the Tushita heaven's inner chamber of Maitreya is where when Shakyamuni Buddha install and throne Buddha Maitreya there, when he descend into our human realm to show Buddhahood. So therefore now, since Maitreya Buddha is staying in the inner chamber of Tushita, is known as the inner chamber of Tushita of Lord Maitreya. So we've got to the 100 deities. The 100 means 100, but it doesn't mean it's limited to just a 100 number of gods, but it is simply a kind of poetic expression. So which means that in the inner chamber of Maitreya in Tushita heaven, there are so many, many gods living within this inner chamber learning the Dharma. So the 100 deities of the land of joy, the first verse in there is begins with a Sanskrit expression, Namo Gurube. Now Gurube means I prostrate to the Guru. Now Namo means the prostration, and in Sanskrit the teacher is a Guru. Namo Guru means I prostrate to the Guru. Yeah. So in other words, this short phrase means if devotion, I prostrate to the Guru. So the first phrase means from the heart of the protector, the hundreds of deities of the land of joy. It is this phrase is the invitation to Jay Tsongkhapa, and where do we invite him from? We invite him from the heart of Lord Maitreya. From the heart of Lord Maitreya, we invite Lama Tsongkhapa, and what we visualize here is that from the heart of Lord Maitreya, light rays come out, and at the tip of the light rays are infinite numbers of clouds, and the colors are like of the light of fresh white curds. It's pure fresh white, and stably within this fresh curd is the Lama Tsongkhapa. So what we visualize is that the clouds are not one or two clouds, but numerous being all as a cumulative form of clouds. It's very extremely beautiful, and it's like fresh white. So with regard to as to why Tsongkhapa is emanated from the heart of Lord Maitreya, there are two reasons for this. The first is that we have to understand that Tsongkhapa is of the same nature with Lord Maitreya, and this is also to imply the fact that when Lord Maitreya manifests Buddhahood in human realm, the next Buddha after Maitreya Buddha is that of the Bodhisattva of the treasure of marvelous sound. The treasure of marvelous sound, Bodhisattva. This Bodhisattva shall inherit the throne left vacant after Lord Maitreya descend into a human realm. So when doing the visualization at the tip of the clouds is that of a throne that is upheld by eight great lions, and on top of the throne sits Lama Tsongkhapa, and to his left and right on the smaller thrones, to the left is that of Kedrupji, and to the right Igyasapji, and what we invite is Jay Tsongkhapa together with his two spiritual sons. So after inviting Chaitanya and his two spiritual sons, where do we invite him to? It's to the space in front of ourselves. The space in front of ourselves, this refers to our eyebrow, to the space which is slightly above the level of our eyebrow. So the aspect is that of Chaitanya Kapa being invited to the space on the jewel throne, and our jewel throne is a lotus sun and moon disc, and then Chongkapa sits there smiling with delight, being joyful, and we invite Chaitanya Kapa, and from there we actually invite Chaitanya Kapa to stay for hundreds of aeons. And now this within the spiritual limbs, and this is the first limb of the spiritual limb, which is that of the request to come, an invitation as well as the request to stay for long. So generally the seven limbs, the sequence follows that of prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, requesting to turn the wheel of the Dharma, requesting not to pass the Nirvana, and dedication. But in this case the seven limb sequence is different, because we begin with the invitation of Tongkapa to come to the space in front, and before we do the offering limb, we request Tongkapa to stay for 100 aeon. In this case the sequence is slightly different. So after inviting Tongkapa, we offer the seven limbs, and the first limb of requesting to Tongkapa to stay for hundreds of aeons, and the second one we make the prostration, which is that of the in this case the second limb. Whereas in other places it's the first limb, of course. So after offering the limb of prostration, we are prostrating to the Guru's body, speech and mind. And what do you offer the Guru's body, speech and mind? We prostrate to the Guru's body, speech and mind. Before that, the first thing to prostrate to is the Guru's mind, because the source of all quality is from that of the mind, is from the inner heart of the Guru. So therefore the first thing the prostrate to is that of the mind or the heart of the Guru. And this mind, it does not refer to the ordinary perception, but rather is that of the omniscient, perfectly wise mind. And what we prostrate to, the speech is not the ordinary speech, but that of the elegant, the elegant dharmic speech of the Guru. And from this, this is that of the speech of the Dharma, and this is what we are prostrating to, which is that the well-said, elegant, well-said speech of the Guru, which means that is able. And then to the body, we prostrate to that of the Guru, the magnificent form of the Guru, and to the essence, and this is prostration to the body, speech and mind of the teacher. So in this phrase, a succinct explanation is why do we offer to Tongkapa prostration, and what kind of quality does Tongkapa has such that we need to prostrate to him? It's because he possesses of infinite body, speech and mind quality. The mind is that he's omniscient, he knows all, he perfectly grasps and master all the relative and ultimate truth without any faults, and there is no other place which is not illuminated by the mind quality of the Tongkapa. And therefore to this we make prostration to Tongkapa's mind. And with regard to his speech, he's able to well expound all the perfect Dharma. So therefore we are prostrating to Tongkapa's speech. And with regard to Tongkapa's the magnificent body, possessed of the 32 major and 18 minor signs, and by looking at Tongkapa's body you're able to generate joy and happiness. And to this therefore we make prostration to Tongkapa's body. And by looking at Tongkapa's body, and by thinking of Tongkapa's name and thinking of his quality, we can derive great benefit from it. And therefore we are, through this reason, we are making prostrations to Jee Tongkapa. So with regard to prostration, what does it mean? Now prostration, generally speaking, there are three forms of prostration. One is that prostration of the body, speech as well as the mind. And with regard to prostration of the mind, why do we need to do it. Now, we need to do it because it's like we are cleaning and sweeping the ground, and by sweeping away the dirty stuff, we will be able to clean the environment. So similarly, prostration is a kind of a purification of our faults and acquisition of all the merit, and through these two reasons, we are offering prostrations. So why do we have to make prostration? It's divided prostration of the body, speech, as well as the mind. So now the 10 non-virtuous actions are derived from our body, speech, and mind. So the body has 3 kinds of non-virtuous, speech has 4 kinds of non-virtuous, and mind has 3 kinds of non-virtuous. Therefore, when prostrating, we're also prostrating through our body, speech, and mind. So with regard to the acts of killing, the non-virtuous action belong to that of the non-virtue of the body. So in order to purify this non-virtue of the body, therefore we need to do prostration. In order to purify non-virtue of speech, we have to prostrate with our speech. To purify non-virtue of mind, we need to prostrate with our mind. So as we all know, killing or stealing are all committed on the basis of the non-virtue of body. So, in order to prostrate, therefore, we are actually purifying all the negative karma, so of the body, and through body prostration, this is the exact direct antidote to purifying the virtue of body, and so purify, and by prostrating with speech, by the encouraging others or rejoicing in the non-virtue of speech of others, this is non-virtue, and so in order to purify non-virtue of speech, we need to offer prostration of speech. So similarly, by doing prostration, there are 2 manners of doing it. One is the following prostration, the other is the succeeding prostration. But the 5 points of the body must touch the ground. It refers to the forehead, the palms, as well as the soles of the feet, and the knees of the feet must touch the ground. So, and all this refers to the 5 portions of the body touching the ground, and this refers to the prostrating with the 5 points. And of course, there are things to adhere to. The hand, the palms cannot be facing up, must be facing together. And what this means is that the sole and the feet are facing up, it's like a claw of an animal, and this will create the cause for rebirth as an animal, such as the tiger or the leopard. And similarly, the prostration, the full length prostration and the short prostration, there are different qualities to be derived from these 2 forms of prostration. When doing prostration, the amount of atoms of dust underneath the body, this will be the atoms of dust will be equivalent to the quality that we will reap. So with regard to this short prostration, the ground that we cover for the body will be much lesser than the area that we cover from full length prostration. Therefore, the quality is less in comparison to the full length prostration. So when prostrating with hands folded, there are differences with regard to the those in the path and those not in the path. And with regard to those not within the path, the palms are simply touching each other, and this refers to the prostration of folding palms of external path. The Buddhist form is quite different, meaning that the thumbs are actually tucked within the folded palms, and it's almost like holding a wish-fulfilling gem within the palms. So this is the Buddhist way of folding one's palm with regard to prostration. So when we're making prostration, we should place the palms or feet on the middle of our head, on the crown of our head. Now what this means is that when the Buddha Shakyamuni, the top and the crown of Buddha Shakyamuni, there's a Unisha, and so when we place our folded palm on the top of our head, this is to create the cause of achieving the Unisha of a Buddha. That's a Buddha Shakyamuni. So the second, later on, we actually place the folded palms at our forehead. Now this actually means this imply that we wish to create the cause for achieving that of the 32 major signs is most difficult to achieve it, which is that of achieve the quality of having this point, the urna between the on the forehead of the Buddha. And then the third portion is to put the folded palm at the throat, and this is to create the cause for being able to teach the Dharma like the Buddha. Buddha to teach the 84,000 categories of the Dharma, and so therefore we place the folded palms on our throat, and fourth place is to put the folded palm and, on in front of our chest, and this is to create the auspicious cause to create the omniscient, to achieve the omniscient mind of the Buddha. So therefore we put the folded palms in front of our chest. Therefore when we have the time, we can do this prostration in a slow, mindful manner by touching these folded palms on these four places. But of course, if we don't have time, we should do it usually not as slowly. So therefore, when making the prostration, we need to be mindful as to why we are making these respective gestures on the crown of our head, is to achieve the quality of the crown of the Buddha. At the forehead is to achieve that of the earner of the Buddha, and they put the folded palm at the throat is to receive the quality of the speech of the Buddha, and to put it on the heart is to achieve that of the omniscient mind of the Buddha. We need to be mindful and to contemplate upon the reason as to why we make these respective gestures at these respective places of the body when doing prostrations. So just like Buddha Shakyamuni, when he achieved Buddhahood at the crown, he has the Onisha, is the earner at the forehead, has the perfect speech, and has the omniscient mind. So as sentient being, we are creating the cause to achieve these qualities, and we have but we have negative habitual tendency. We need to purify them so in order to achieve these qualities of the Buddha. So, with regard to the limb of prostration and the limb of requesting to remain, out of the two limbs of the seven limbs, now the third limb is that of the offering limb. Now the offering limb, now to start with, what we want to say is that of rejoicing. Now what is meant by rejoicing limb? Now it means that we rejoice ourselves and rejoicing with regards to all the qualities that Tongkapa has. So when making the offering, now the important thing is to break the defilement of attachment or greed. So when making offering, we should not have greed or attachment. So we must try make offering to our best ability, even with a little bit of greed or attachment, then there would be faults in the offering. So of course, we make offering to the best of our ability. We can make major, great offerings. Then we will do it. But if we don't do it, we can do a small, a lesser offering. But most important thing is to allow us to overcome our greed and attachment. And offering here is to do with the eight kinds of offering: water, incense, flower, water, incense, light, scented water, food, music, etc. And in Singapore, we have a lot of flowers, so we can make a lot of wonderful offering of flowers. Now we have to try, we have to make offering to our best ability, and to make offerings in order to fulfill that of the senses. And but the offering is to do, is to offer what we like and what we are happy with. So to do that, when the creating cause of the offering is positive, the result also will be positive. So therefore, when making the offering of food, for example, we cannot offer food which that we ourselves do not like. So if we make offering of food that we do not like, then it is not meaningfully positive. So when making offering is to accumulate a lot of positive qualities, and the Buddha Bodhisattva do not need our offering. They do not need actually food, etc. But when making this offering, it is only for us to create the merit. So therefore, we only create the merit of everything that's positive and good, and such as the good food, but not to offer things that we dislike. So therefore, similarly true about the clothing that we offer, there are many kinds of outfits that we can offer, and not to offer just a monotonous, a boring kind of an outfit, a mediocre form of quality, but to make the quality that is of the best. And of the eight offerings, when offering that of the land, there's a gift of light. And why must we give light? Now we give light so as to create the cause in the future to realize the wisdom of of emptiness. So with regard to light, it means a wisdom, and so the wisdom, when offering light, is to have the wisdom, and in the future life we will be free from darkness and we achieve wisdom, intelligence and the future. And this is the reason why we're making offerings of the light and making offerings of the centered water. The centered water is to be actually applied to the chest, and that's because when we sweat, the chest will actually sweat. This is the portion of the chest where we sweat. So therefore, we're making an offering of the centered water. We visualize smearing the centered water to the chest. So the next one is that of the highest offering, and then of course there's still what we call the inner, the secret, and the suchness offering. And of these later categories of offering, they only appear in the highest yoga tantra. And these forms of category will be dealt with in the offering of the Lama Chopa, especially in the context of the highest yoga tantra. And with regard to what is the object of offering, the object of offering will be that of the Buddhas of the three, of the ten directions and three times, and these are the objects of our offerings. So of the eight offerings, the first offering is that of the drinking water. Now why we offer drinking water? Now the reason is because we offer true joy, and because in India it's hot and it's a custom of India, therefore to offer drinking water, such as Singapore or Taiwan, and when there are guests we give them drink or tea because of the hot weather. So therefore we offer drink in order to quench your thirst, but in Tibet we don't have this custom because the weather is cold, so we don't give people addition to that cold water as well. And therefore to offer water is actually Indian custom, not that of Tibetan custom. So we also need to understand, we offer drinking water, what it means is that the water possesses eight qualities. Now the eight qualities, water possesses eight qualities. What are they? First of all, is that it is tender, it is soft, it is clean, it is not harmful to the throat, not harmful to the stomach, it is beneficial, etc. These are the eight qualities of water. So they are saying that all kinds of water in Tibet possess of these eight qualities, and in India refers to the Ganges River water that is possessed of the eight qualities. So of the eight offerings, the second kind of offering of water is that of the washing for the feet. Now this is Indian custom also, because in ancient India people walk around with naked feet, so when you're walking outside with naked feet, usually you will have dirt and mud smeared upon the feet. So when you enter the house or the temple, you first offer the feet washing water for the guests. Now in India this is the custom. Now why is it so? Because in the left hand you hold the guest's feet, and with the right hand you wash the guest's feet. And so similarly, this is the mudra that we do with regard to the second offering of the water. And in India it's hot weather, and China also it can be hot, so it is not completely alien to washing the feet with regard to China. But in Tibet it is very inconvenient to wash the feet of others. Now why do we wash the feet of others? Because if the feet is dirty, you enter people's house, it's of course no good. And of course the odor of the dirty feet could be offensive and rude. So that's the reason why we offer the offering of feet washing water. And what is there with this custom is to do with the hot climate, and when the feet sweat, the odor will be produced, and so therefore we make offerings of the feet washing water. So when we make offerings of the flower, now mainly it is in order to achieve beauty and majesty and magnificent form, and also to create the cause for rebirth in the heavenly realms, and or to be born in the of the pure land. So this is the reason why we offer flowers. So when making offerings of the flower, this is the cause for us to create the habitual tendency to be pure and clean. Now as we can see, some people, they appear in a strange way, they are not good looking at all. So we're making offerings of the flower. In a future life, we'll be able to achieve that of a good looking form. And so this is a cause for us to produce that of the magnificent form. So as you know that the heavenly, the gods are all born from the flowers. So therefore in the Pure Land also, you are born from the lotuses of flowers. So therefore, the making flower, this create a cause for ourselves to be born in the heavenly sphere, or that in the Buddha's Pure Land. So the next offering, out of the 8 offering, is that offering of incense. Now, when offering incense, what do we offer? Which senses? We are offering sense of the smell, and food is drinking water is that of sense of the throat of the, and then the light is that of the eyes, and clothes is that of the body or touch. So as we know, some people have body odor. So when sitting beside this person, we want to move away from the person with body odor. Now, but when making offerings of the incense, now it has a very good positive smell, and that we're creating cause for that in future life to be free from body odor, and to be away from these faults. And when we attain Buddhahood in the future, we'll be able to achieve that of the morality smell. That is the positive smell of morality. So this is the result that we can achieve from offering incense. So as we all know, when for some people, they have body odor, or they can get dirty easily. This is, of course, besides a hygienic issue, this is also a result of not having planted the cause, the necessary cause in the past. So by offering incense, we'll be free from body odor, body away from dirt, and to achieve purity, cleanliness, and very importantly, we can achieve the cause to be reborn in a Buddha's Pure Land. So the next offering we give is that of light, and light is relatively simple, meaning the offering of fire or light. What it means is that the offering light, what it means, it represents wisdom, and there are many forms of wisdom. Wisdom in permanence, the selflessness wisdom, realization of emptiness wisdom. So why are we not able to achieve selflessness, impermanence, or the emptiness kind of wisdom? It's because we are defiled by ignorance, and this is something like if there are a great fog, and there's a great fog, the light will not be bright. So therefore, similarly within our heart, we are being obscured by ignorance. So our fundamental light or wisdom are not manifest. So similarly, in order to create the cause to achieve the bliss non-dual with emptiness, you offer light. Now the bliss non-dual with emptiness, this is very clearly stated in the Lama Chupa text. So we also know that when people pass away, people like to offer lamb. Now, why is that so? Because while we are alive, we find it's an ordinary act to offer light sometimes. So, but when at the time of death, people wants to offer a lot of light, emphasizes upon it. Now, the reason is because there's a subtle or that of the relatively rough mind. So, when we pass away, the gross mind shall see, and then the subtle mind shall arise. When the subtle mind arises, and through this subtle perception, we can use this to realize emptiness. So therefore, at the time of death, when we offer light, this is ordered to assist the dead to accumulate the cause, to overcome the ordinary habitual tendency to use the subtle mind in order to realize emptiness. And in the Nyingma tradition, they are all saying that to use the subtle mind to realize emptiness. But in the Gelugpa tradition here, and they are saying that it is possible to, through offering lamb, to create the cause, to create the cause to be in the future to realize emptiness. So there are many kinds of opinion with regard to this, but when offering light, it shows that in the future we'll be away from ignorance to achieve light and wisdom in the future. But this is a definite and a shared perception, shared opinion. So the next of the eight offering is that of the offering of the scented water again. Scented water, it means that of the aroma of flowers or that of fruits, aroma of fruits, fragrance of fruits. Now, what we're offering is to smear it onto the position of the chest. Now, the position offering to the chest is that of the Sutrayana. From the Tantrayana is a bit different explanation. Now, what it say explains to is that at this position of the body, there's a central channel to the right and the left is another two side channels, and this at this part, the central channel as well as the two channels, they're actually interlocked with and knotted into that of the central channel. But when the knot is made unraveled, then we can realize emptiness. So when I offer the gende or the scented water to the chest, now this is auspicious cause for unraveling the knot at the heart chakra. So therefore, when there is also the Tantrayana explanation for smearing the scented water at the chest. So when the knot is being unraveled, with regard to this explanation is from the viewpoint of Hayasugha Tantra, this will create a cause to achieve the perfection mastery in the completion stage. And that's the reason why we offer the scented water in the Tantrayana. With regard to the Sutrayana explanation now is to achieve the omniscient mind of the Buddha, and this is the reason why we offer the scented water to the chest. So the next of the eight offering is that of the offering of food. When offering food, in simple terms, we're offering is that the three sweets and the three whites. And offering the three sweets, three whites refer to the milk, yogurt, as well as the butter. So these are the three whites. And we've got the three sweets to refer to the cube sugar, red sugar, as well as honey. And these are the three sweets. Now, when in the Tantrayana, of course, when we offer food, what it refers to the five meats and five nectar. And why do we need to offer five meats and five nectar? The reason, the explanation given Tantrayana is that through the five meats and five nectars, we can actually strengthen the body. When the body is strong, the inner wind channels, etc., are strong. When these are corresponding strong, we can realize non-dual bliss of emptiness, and it will be a great assistance to realizing emptiness. So we're offering five meats and five nectar, whether from Tantrayana or Sutrayana. The main point is to achieve wisdom, especially the inner wisdom. So, and that's the reason why we offer food. So when offering food, we must also offer what we like to eat. And if we're just offering to the triple gem, to food that we ourselves do not like and do not wish to eat, or inedible, this is a form of disrespect to the good triple gem. And of course, there's bad karma arising from this. So when offering food, we should be to our best ability, offer what is best. So when offering food, is to fulfill that of the sense of taste. When tasting bad food or food that we dislike, then we'll for you. So by offering food that we dislike to the Guru and Triple Gem, the Guru Triple Gem will not fall sick or become unhappy as a result of bad food. But this through disrespect from our own side, this is a creation of negative karma. So the next offering is that of the offering of the instruments or musical instruments, offering of music. Now, this is to fulfill the sense of sound, of hearing. So what instruments to offer? It could be the drum, the bell ringing, percussive sounds, etc. So all these offering, the form is that of the gesture or is the instrument of the tingsha. Tingsha is a kind of small symbol in Tibetan instrument. So in short, is offering what is pleasant. We should offer what we like, and before we can make it as an offering, we can offer things that we dislike. So therefore, the cause the cause we create here will result in that of the 84,000 aspects of Dharma, all of which will be able, we have the strong ability to teach. So therefore, as we see, some people's voice are no good. They have a hoarse sound. It is because when they're offering music which are unpleasant or music which they themselves do not like. So there's a result of the negative consequence of offering. So with regard to the offering of music in the past, in history, it was recorded that in India there was called Nipasanten, is said to be carpenter. So, and when the Buddha has entered Nirvana, the king would like to build for the Buddha a pagoda, but this architect, not carpenter, is not able to create this pagoda. He gave rise to a defilement, saying, why should we build such a large pagoda? Isn't it going to be awfully tiring? Why do we build a smaller pagoda as a result of the cause of the thought that he has? So therefore, he was reborn as an ugly, with an ugly form. But at the completion of the pagoda was extremely majestic and magnificent, and he feel great rejoicing in that, and he actually feel regret about the disrespectful attitude in the first place. So as a result, he offer a lamb made of gold to the pagoda. Therefore, subsequently, he has a very beautiful voice, such a beautiful voice that everybody will always stop to listen to his voice, or including lion, will quieten down, become tame to listen to him when he talks. So this is the consequence of offering a beautiful sound of the golden bell. So besides that, one of the Buddha's quality also is such that when the Buddha was teaching, no matter from the right, the left, the front or the back, they can all unhinderedly hear the Buddha's teaching. So whether or not we offer drum, the bell, etc., any forms of music, whether we're making of music ourselves or encouraging others to do so, it will all result in a beautiful voice. And after gaining Buddhahood, we can achieve the qualities of the Buddha's voice, such that all beings can listen to the Dharma that we give. So the next offering is that of the five senses, is that sense of touch. And the sense of touch is represented by offering clothings, and this will result in the skin or the complexion being very smooth, pleasant. Body is without scar or wounds, we can achieve beautiful clothing or body in the future. And in the future, after gaining Buddhahood, we'll be able to be replete with all the majesty and excellent signs of a Buddha's body. Now, another explanation is that whether from the Pratimoksha, Bodhisattva, Tantric vows, all these vows will be able to keep them completely, perfectly. So when we're making to this portion of the offering, we should know that is offering to the Buddha's sense of the eye, the ear, the nose, the touch, the taste, etc. All these different senses, to make all these, we make the respective offerings, so that in the future we can also achieve everything that's positive with regard to these five senses: perfect eye, perfect ear, perfect nose, etc. So the next portion is that offering of the present, of the actual or imagined offering. Now the actual offering is the external offering, and those that visualize from our mind is that offering from our innermost mind. So the object towards each we offer is that of the field of merit, and this will allow us to result in a lot of positive quality. Now it refers to is that the main object to which offering is that of the Guru, the Triple Gem, as well Buddha, so the 10 directions and three times, and in this Guru Yoga here, of course, is the Tsongkhapa, is the main object of our offering. And offering to the merit field is to allow us to amass great unlimited qualities and merit. So the next limb is that of limb of confessing, and it means that from beginningless time until now, the body, speech and mind, the created negativities, especially that of the transgressions, the three kinds of vows, these three kinds of vows, Pratimoksha, Bodhisattva and Tantric vows, all this negative non-virtue from our body, speech and mind, we are created from beginningless lives in the past, and we make confession. And what's the manner of making confession? Is to true the respective with the four forms of antidote, without using the four powers, the four based on which you make confession. The first power is that of the strong regret, which means that a person who has taken strong poison, you know, because it's fear death, this person will give rise to regret for having taken the poison. So this is that of the power of destructiveness, or power of regret, and whatever that you create in the body of the speech and mind, all these you respectively clearly confess, no matter what you yourself have done or rejoice in what the negative that people have done, encourage people to do negative things, etc. For example, we hear that others are ill or sick, and we're happy saying, oh, that's good, he is good that he died, it's good that he's in jail. And so, and that is the negative karma arising from rejoicing or all these kinds of negative, encouraging others to do it, we ourselves do it, rejoicing in that of others, all these individually, clearly, categorically in what we confess. And so how to confess it, it is true confession of the speech. And by confessing to the 35 Buddhas or other such perfection practices, we can do the confession. The Buddha say that by using the four powers, we can purify every kind of negative karma. There's no negative karma that cannot be purified through these four powers. So we have to be full conviction and faith in a Guru and Triple Gem. By having faith in Guru and Triple Gem, we can purify negative karma from mind and of the four powers instead of reliance, and it gives rise to great and so we think and we have to think that we will not do that again. So that is the another power. And then the last power is that through prostrating, offering, etc., to make confession. So these four constitutes the four powers of confession, which is that regret, regretful conviction in Triple Gem, etc. So by confessing the negative karma mainly comes from as we all know, a place which is stormy, the sun light cannot come through and shine upon the earth. Now, but if the clouds become lesser, the storm, storm dissipates, so then the sunlight can then shine upon the entire area. So if you are doing a lot of virtuous deeds but we are not able to experience a positive outcome, that's because of the defilements and obscuration from negative karma. But the obscurations are purified, but the positive karma that we create, the outcome shall be clear, just like how the sunlight is going to shine upon the entire environment. So when we are making the confessing of negative karma, must understand that all the bad karma we realize are being done through many different ways. Some are done by ourselves, and others are we instigating others to do it, and others are rejoicing in the bad things done by others. These are the three manners in which we can create negative karma, and all these respectively we should recall. And then you know, what you've done, the bad things they've done through the body, the speech, or the mind. And so when recalling all this, after recalling all this, then can we come up with regret, and after regret, then can we apply the antidotes. And by not having regret, by not recalling, how can we regret? By not having regret, how do we apply the antidote? So therefore, first of all, we need to remember and recall about what the bad things that we've done in the past, and after that, giving rise to regret, knowing that we have done this, then after through all this, etc., then can we give the antidote? Otherwise, there's no basis for giving the antidote to it. So through prostration, through the 100 syllable Vajrasattva, through reciting sutra, all these manners are viable antidotes against negative karma. And so also through contemplating this, then the antidote is strong. Otherwise, by just reciting, by just mouthing the mantras, mouthing, etc., by mind not having any sense of regret, etc., that even the positive karma will also be weak, not to talk mention about true effective confession and purification. So the next part is that of rejoicing, the limb of rejoicing. And earlier on we were saying the four powers and the antidote, we're making a relatively extensive explanation, because if we don't understand the four powers, no matter what diligent efforts we exert, we cannot get any effective result. So therefore, regard to rejoicing, we elaborate upon that. But because of time constraint, we are now proceeding right on to rejoicing limb. Now in the root verses here, they're saying in this just each of the five degenerations by listening a lot, practicing, be away from the eight worldly concerns, having achieved the ultimate purpose, a human body. And through all these prodigious deeds of Tsongkhapa, we rejoice sincerely from our hearts. So when we got to this portion, the verse here is in the form of an aspiration. I was saying that when I'm saying the five degeneration is wrong. Now what it means that from beginning's time, just as all the Buddhas of the three time and Buddhist of the three time, etc., including Lama Tsongkhapa, all these great waves of Bodhisattva deeds and all their magnificent activities and all their listening, contemplating, as well as practicing, and because of these unbridled diligence, therefore they're able to accomplish unhindered unbelievable activities. So from the depths of our heart we sincerely rejoice, such that in the future also I wish to be able to achieve these great deeds like these Buddhas and Bodhisattva and Lama Tsongkhapa. Like Lama Tsongkhapa is also mentioned, say in the sutra, without awful, dreadful effort, they are able to accomplish this. So through this rejoice, and through this rejoice, even though there's no extensive awful effort is involved, we are able to accomplish very great merit through rejoicing. So the limb of rejoicing is in the form of aspiration, which is just like Buddhas of the past, Bodhisattva of the past. They have a complete listening, contemplating, and practicing. Every deeds, the qualities that you have, I wish to be like you. Bless me that I can become like you. So the next portion is that of the request to turn the wheel of Dharma. And now initially at this place, now it should be the request to stay long. But however, this has been shifted to the first limb here. So therefore, over here is a limb to request to turn the wheel of Dharma. And here within this limb, is saying that here we request all these most venerable teacher, for since the Dhammakaya pervades the entire space, therefore within space which is filled with compassion and wisdom, so out of great compassion and wisdom, please let fall a rain of Dhamma, vast and profound. Now what it means here is that just like the Buddhas, Dhammakaya pervades all space. So because within the inner heart of the Buddha, they realize emptiness, so therefore is able to turn the wheel of Dharma according to the different capacities of beings. So that just like in the sky is filled with clouds, so then rain can fall, great rain can fall. Similarly, because of the hearts of the Buddhas and Bodhisattva, they realize the great emptiness, so therefore they can turn the wheel of Dharma according to different capacities of sentient beings. Now what it means is that in the Hinayana tradition, they teach the Hinayana, and to the Mahayana, they give the Paramitayana, and to those of Vajrayana capacity, they teach Tantra, and to beings with bad capacity, they give lower scope, and beings of middle scope, they give middle scope, and to beings with a high intelligent capacity, they give the higher scope. So according to different beings, and the vast refer to the teaching on emptiness and wisdom, the profound refer to that of the profound Bodhisattva activities. The vast referring to accumulation of wisdom, the profound refer to the accumulation of merit. So within this verse, this being saying, please release the rain of vast and profound. Now what it means, and not just the Mahayana vehicle, but including those of the Hinayana. Now the vast refers to that of the accumulation of wisdom of emptiness. So the next one is that of the limb of dedication. Now limb dedication, what you mentioned is that of me and all sentient beings, all the sentient, all the merits that I've accumulated, and all the may all these great deep merit I've accumulated be dedicated to all sentient beings, especially dedicated to the long preservation of the teaching of Lama Tsongkhapa. So and amongst these, the dedication refers to all the good deeds that we have done, whether from listening, practicing, teaching, debating, all these body, speech and mind practices, diligence, are not accumulated for ourselves, but for the benefits to be given to the Dharma, to all sentient beings, especially such that the profound teachings of Losang Drapa, which is Lama Tsongkhapa, be able to shine forever stably, and then and not just to stay but also to increase forevermore. So during the dedication, besides dedicating like the above, we can also do like what you say in Samantabhadra aspiration, which means that just like how Samantabhadra dedicate, I also dedicate. Through this verse is found in Samantabhadra aspiration, not only do we achieve self-benefit, we also achieve benefit for others and also benefit to the Buddha's Dharma. So this is a very profound kind of dedication. In the past, Mandalish Master made dedications like this, and also teach the disciples to make dedication as found in Samantabhadra's aspiration. So we can actually do the Misema prayers, and after making the Misema prayers, and we can make the prayer that, glorious, great, precious root teacher, please settle into our sun and moon lotus in my heart, and through your great kindness, give me your body, speech, and my blessing. Now, the visualization here is that root guru and enter into our heart, and on our heart is a lotus, a sun, and a moon, this, and above which sits the root teacher. Now, Misema, there are many kinds. There are those with four phrases, five phrases, or nine phrases, Misema. Now, usually we use that, we do the prayer, you are Avalokiteshvara, great treasure, compassionate, aim at true existence, Manjushri, master of flawless wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of hosts of demons, with that ascension, Tsongkhapa, conjurer, serious land of snow. This is the fourth phrase, but if we add to you, request to you, O Vajradhara, then become the five phrases, Misema. And when requesting to receive the common and common cities, and this will become the nine phrases, Misema. When, why do we need to make Misema? Now, this is so as to have an increase in wisdom, to acquire wisdom. So the four verse Misema, I mean that you're the great treasure of compassion, Avalokiteshvara, flawless wisdom is that to Manjushri, destroyer of demons is Vajrapani. So the crown jewel of sages, land of snow is Tsongkhapa. So therefore, we're making this prayer Misema, and I will represent is to practice of Chenrezig, of practice of Manjushri, of Vajrapani, and of Tsongkhapa. So what are we making the request for? We're making request to Tsongkhapas about this speech and mind. So what we visualize is also the text as well as the sword, and there are many different kinds of requests, and comprising of seven, the acquisition of seven forms of wisdom. So the seven wisdom, what are they? Refers to expansive, the subtle, the swift, the profound, as well as the of the expounding, composing, and these are the seven forms of wisdom. Prostrating to Tsongkhapa's body is to acquire profound wisdom, expansive wisdom, and prostrating to Tsongkhapa's speech is to receive clear wisdom. Prostrating to Tsongkhapa's mind is to receive swift wisdom. To prostrating to Tsongkhapa's implements, which is that of the swords, the mudra, or the text, is to receive a form of wisdom. Prostrating to Tsongkhapa, the swords that is held as an implement in Tsongkhapa, is to receive the wisdom of debate. Prostrating to Tsongkhapa, the text, which appears as Tsongkhapa's implement, is to receive the wisdom of expounding the Dharma. Prostrating to both the text and sword together is to achieve that of composing, the wisdom of composing. So when reciting Misema, it is actually a request to Tsongkhapa to acquire great wisdom. So prostrating to Tsongkhapa's body, speech and mind, implements, etc., the sword, the text, or the both the text and the sword together. Besides that, reciting your misema is also a request to the three races. The three races refer to Chenrezi, Manjushri, and Vajrapani. And a request to Manjushri, you can receive Chenrezi's compassion. Request to Manjushri, you can receive great wisdom. A request to Vajrapani, you can receive unhindered power to remove obstacles. Therefore, when reciting, rather than practicing the three raises practices individually or separately, distinctly, through Misema, we can simultaneously practice the three raises together. Hence, the power of Misema is actually awesome. So, by reciting Misema, there's another common prayer. Another common prayer refers to not being separated from Tsongkhapa's teaching for all future lives, and such that and there's and also there's followed by a very common dedication. Kindly, please listen carefully to the oral transmission to be given by Rinpoche. So, this is a very simple explanation and oral transmission. This is a short explanation followed by the oral transmission.
Oh, yeah.